Arr, Grog.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Size Shed podcast. I'm Matthew Weir, and I couldn't locate Kerry for a while, but I wiggled a sausage, and she appeared.
Fucking hell. That's all it takes, Matthew.
You follow cooked meat anywhere. You're like Bert.
Follow meat anywhere.
Didn't you hear that line?
What about wiggling a sausage?
Yes, when Tracy was, they had that kind of handover meeting at Susan and Neil's.
Ah, the nice breakfast.
Yeah, I like the way Susan went, as they say, breakfast is served.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
What, did they say that?
And al fresco, and Jasmine went, al who? It means outside.
You know, they were saying that Brad was a pleasure to have around. Neil said that. Contrast to George, obviously.
Yeah.
Then there was that moment where she said, what about Dad? And Susan went, let's just finish breakfast. I was waiting for it to say, he's dead.
I've killed him.
You're eating him, actually, yeah. Tracy.
He won't let Neil watch Keeping Up Appearances, so he's in the allotment.
But Tracy offered advice. She said, wiggle a sausage under his nose, he'd follow cooked meat anywhere.
Oh my goodness. I've listened twice, Matthew, and I didn't hear that.
You know, it's a little bit like the character in Westworld who's a robot.
Yeah.
That when they show him the diagrams that he is a robot, he's like, I just can't see anything. And that you're like that with cooked meat being wiggled under your nose. You're just like, no, that's totally normal. What are you talking about?
Oh, I'll tell you what though, I had, when you did the tweet along, which I'm going to speak about in a moment, young man. I was out and I had the most divine mutton roties in a pub. So you just reminded me of meat. But anyway, when you did the tweet along, there's an Emma-phant in the room.
Is this about me saying the part of Emma was played by Kerry Warbis?
Yes, that's the Emma-phant in the room, Matthew. Thank you for that. What did you mean exactly? Please tell me.
Just blind devotion and defence of George in the face of quite obvious criticism.
Yeah, except I have explained last week that I'm not blind and blinkered. I do know. I don't blindly praise him.
Are you suggesting I can't be slightly jokey and irrational on Twitter?
I just want to make sure that people know this. I know you know it, but like saying, Emma was played by me. And then, I was in the pub eating mutton roties and I thought, oh, I wonder what he means. Then I listened to the episode.
Well, I can imagine you threatening to punch Hannah.
Oh, can you?
Yeah, kind of.
Mm-mm. I've never hit anyone. I would verbally slaughter people.
Oh, haven't you?
No.
Okay. Let's have a little break and then we'll be hearing from pacifist Kerry Warbis.
Dear Cider Shed listener, a commercial is about to appear on the podcast. Maybe you should take this opportunity to pop to the kitchen and grab refreshment and or use the bathroom. We will be back with you shortly. P.S. What ads do you get? Please let us know.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Okay, we said in our preamble that we would start with Miles, but we've gone a bit George.
We have.
So let's stay on it.
Also, can I just say, Matthew, do you know what my middle name is?
Killer?
No. Quite the opposite.
Peace.
Yep.
Fuck off.
It is. So you just called me pacifist. My name is Kerry Peace Warbis.
Yeah, is it double-barreled of work?
Shut it. No, it isn't double-barreled, and it's peace as in love and peace. My parents gave me that middle name.
Okay, mine is Matthew Adolf Messerschmitt Weir.
Quite a opposite, aren't we? Quite polar opposites.
So George went a bit nuts tonight. Look, we can't hide. We're recording this on Thursday.
No.
It's my birthday on Monday. I'm going down to Lisbon on Friday straight after work, and we can't record. So you're going to have to take us analysing 5 episodes, not 6. I know you're a bunch of greedy bastards, but we can't do it for you this week. So that's what you're getting.
How many cakes are you having at your birthday party?
At least 3. And no, I don't think I'm having any, actually. I my in-laws might bake something for me because they're baking types.
Mm.
So I think I might get like some kind of lime cheesecake, kind of Brazilian affair.
Oh, that sounds good. Yeah, better than buttercream.
Yeah, we're just going to the beach.
Nice.
So we're just going to be chilling,
mm-hmm.
swimming, etc. Full disclosure, it is Thursday night. George has just totally went off on one. But let's drag it back to where this story begins with him earlier in the week. So on Wednesday, we heard from him earlier, didn't we, when he was moping about losing his job.
On Monday, yeah, he was in the tea room wondering if he should get a job in there. And then he sort of goes, you ask Tony for me, Mum. You'll say it better than me. And Emma was sort of saying things like, good things come to positive thinkers.
Is she just reading the different inspirational quote cushions that are put up around the tea room? She hasn't got any originalized ideas of her own. She's just like, you know.
Yeah. Don't worry, George. Live, laugh, love. Prosecco o'clock. Just say that to Tony. Everything will be fine, love.
I just have this idea now of her just wildly looking around the room like, what's the next one? Yeah, but the thing is, George, my other car is a Porsche.
Yes.
Do you remember the guy from Absolutely? Absolutely was that comedy in the 80s. And there was a character. I think he was meant to be Greek, and he had like a wild big afro. And he used to drive around on a tractor with this kind of vaguely xenophobic Eastern European or possibly Greek kind of accordion music playing. And the whole sketch was whenever he was trying to enter real life, and every now and again he would walk in somewhere and see a sign and go, he'd see like, you don't have to be mad to work it, but it helps. And then he would just go into hysterics and laugh on the floor for about a minute while the music played. You never saw this?
No, because I'm 10 years older than you. And so when you were watching that sort of thing, I was up to no good.
Well, I don't know. I still found time to watch TV and get up to no good.
Well, you know what I mean? There are certain references where you will have been a child or something. And I wasn't.
Anyone listening out there, if you remember the character I'm talking about, he used to wear kind of like a blue suit, massive like afro hair, a bit like Rasputin-esque. He used to drive around in a tractor. He'd be like, my other car is a Porsche.
Sounds like David.
Oh, yeah. He does a bit. Maybe it was David. Maybe this is all some fever dream. Anyway, I digress.
Yeah.
Emma.
Yeah, yeah.
Emma is trying to comfort George in the tea room. He's not really having any of it, is he?
No. Yeah, he's convincing everyone that Hannah was a bully and so. But at the same time on Tuesday, Tony and Hannah managed to point out to George about him being misogynistic, didn't they?
What did you think that Tony did to point out his misogyny? He said no back chat, didn't he?
Oh, he said like one slip up and you're out. And then George went, who's been telling you stuff? It's that Hannah, isn't it? Tony said, oh, well, I might have heard that you've got bad mouthing, or you've got a bad tongue in your head or something.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he was straight away targeting Hannah as the source of these problems.
It's not beyond belief that Hannah would speak to Johnny, mention it, and Johnny's going to mention it to his granddad.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's not some mass conspiracy against George, is it? I know he perceives it like that. He does have this incredible victim complex, which I think sometimes he almost believes the lie. You know what I mean? when he's telling the story to Will and when he's telling the story to Emma, I think he's got himself into a place where he's convinced that he's giving the truth, whereas in fact he is twisting it.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Where does this misogyny come from? Is it some sort of deep-seated disappointment in his own mum?
I think he's been playing too much Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, is it that one?
I don't know, really. I mean, the stuff that he said tonight to the three of them. I mean, he'd hinted at it before, hadn't he?
Mm, yeah.
That everyone used to tease him and stuff like that. And maybe, you know, I have no doubt that he's telling the truth there about that.
Yeah.
But still, you know, Mia, not quite from the same background, but she's grown up in that house. And what he said to Will about Nick, just totally out of order. I liked the bit where Emma just went, "Who are you?" And I expected him to just completely straighten up and go, "I'm George Grundy." What are you talking about?
Yeah, that is a bloody great point, Matthew, about Mia. Forgotten all about her in all of this. So, yes, that's an interesting counterpoint, isn't it, to the "I've had a terrible childhood."
Yeah, I mean, she's not my two dads with Greg Evigan.
No.
Like George is, but at the same time, he's been in and around that situation. I mean, George says one of his earliest memories of Nick was cuffing him, wasn't it?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly. This is it, you see. I do think, in no way excusing any of his current behaviours, but he's a messed up kid. I do think that. And you've only got to hear Will, oh God, his annoying voice, and Emma. Those two people are kind of responsible for his upbringing, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. I mean, funnily enough, I had to sit in on a lecture today that a student was listening to, and the lecturer was saying that there's really no argument that violence and aggression is inherent, and it's all about the environment that you grow up in.
Mm-hmm.
And all these people like clutch their pearls about, oh, well, she was the adopted daughter of a serial killer. Should she ever find out who her father is? And everyone's worrying about Jack now, aren't they, in The Archers?
Yeah, what he should know and what he shouldn't know, and should he be told? I mean, they are interesting philosophical questions, aren't they?
Yeah, but George's upbringing, I think he's more embarrassed rather than angered by it, and it's become anger. So what we've got now, if what he said can be analysed, is that he has actually been ashamed and slight. He slut-shamed his mum. Let's not dress it up any other way.
Yeah.
And how long has he been keeping that under the surface? And it's been seeping out in relation to other women.
Yeah. They've not had any proper, real conversations about it. They've not spotted how messed up he is because of it. Obviously, they, you know, they're busy people. They perhaps think, oh, he's doing all right, he's doing it on the surface level, but they haven't delved into like how much that has played on his mind, or what experience at school that's given him, or what reasons are there for him lashing out verbally or acting out. They haven't really investigated this, and they're such sort of odd people. I don't think they'd be very good at gently probing what he's about, what he's thinking, what he's feeling over the past sort of 10 years or so.
And I know they're not loaded, but and I know Emma works there, so it's home from home, but why not just like go for have dinner at the pub and chat about it, you know, rather than this this panel that was waiting for him when he got
exactly
home.
Exactly. They made it into a bigger, more confrontational thing. It didn't need to be three of them. Like, one of them could just take him out somewhere and just go, take him out. One just, it only takes one to take him out.
I just got visions of them now, like the X Factor or The Voice with like buzzers, like, sorry, I'm out, George. Sorry, you called you. You said that I was so laid back, I was practically asleep. Now you said that he was shagging my girlfriend. I'm sorry, George, you just called me a slut. It's a no from all of us.
Yes. I absolutely loved today's scene, though. It was like, it was quite, I just enjoyed it as drama that he really said it like it was to those three people, in his mind anyway. Of course it was over the top. He's lashing out, isn't he?
Yeah.
I'm sure he's going to regret, hopefully, some of the things that he said. But I did tweet, like, he has got a point about some of that, and then I put ducks. However, it's got retweeted, it's got like, I think people get, you know, that there's a germ of reason into his past experiences that have led him to be the person he is. That does not, however, excuse how he treats all women and how he treats those around him generally. He uses people to his advantage, doesn't he? Definitely. Like, and they're falling for it because they feel guilt about their past. They're overcompensating and mollycoddling, and nothing he can do is wrong. And, you know, his reputation in the village is going to be ruined by Hannah, not by himself.
Yeah. You very tidily answered a question I was going to ask you there, like, but does that excuse his behaviour? No, of course it doesn't. Luckily for George, he's going to the completely healthy, functional workplace that is Bridge Farm.
Oh, God, I know. Well, what I found interesting was that he's actually going to join One Direction.
Oh, is he? Come on, Kerry, fill me in.
Yeah, because Neil said, he's worrying me, that boy. He's going in One Direction. Fast, and it doesn't lead to anywhere good. And I thought, bloody hell, they split up in 2015. Maybe he's replacing Harry Styles or something.
There was that moment where Neil... I mean, that's the whole thing, isn't it? Like, Neil is infallible, really. And he's the one that has raised the alarm on this.
And look at the grief he's getting from those around him.
Yeah. And it's very hard to disagree with what he's saying. Yeah. It's cutting him up to admit it, isn't it? Like, it really hurts him to admit that he can see this happening.
Because even Will said to George, Neil wouldn't do such a thing if he didn't feel it was right. In a way, like the three of them, Will, Ed and Emma, meeting and talking about him, that bit was okay. And sort of going, look, we've got to do something. We're concerned. It was like an intervention of sorts, wasn't it? But really clumsily done. But them talking about him and being concerned, yes, that's good. Do that. But then don't haul him in front of the three of you and go, you know, you need to change. Because no 18-year-old who's really belligerent is going to deal with that very well.
They thought that Hannah would lay it all at George's door when she was confronted. Emma said that, didn't she? And Neil has had to tell them individually, he was already on two warnings for his behaviour. He's a good worker. He had problems. He had attitude. He had attitude just to the women.
Yeah. Because Hannah said, didn't she, to Emma in the tea room, that scene, that was where Emma was really shirty with her when she was buying her Bakewells and coffee. It was handy, that, wasn't it, that the coffee machine had stopped working, so Hannah had to go to the tea room.
Uh-huh.
Hannah said, like, your son has a problem with women. He'll spread misogynistic garbage. Good. It's nice that that is actually reaching the ears of Emma, isn't it?
Yeah, she also said that as far as his work on Bridge Farm goes, Tom and Tony will be fine. It's Pat and Helen I'd worry about. Well, yeah. That's a mantra for life.
Well, we all worry about them too.
There was a bit of a chink in the armour where you felt Emma knew she had a point.
Ah, did you think so? Okay.
Yeah, because she went, you're what? Because as feisty as Emma is, I think... Hannah could fold her into next week if she wanted to.
Ah, right. I thought you meant that Emma actually realised that what she was saying was true.
No, I do mean that.
Oh, do you? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, okay.
People tend to get very nasty when they're confronted with the truth. And Emma, she kind of revved it up a bit when she mentioned the misogyny. I think Hannah said, you must be able to see it. And she got really angry. And she was about to put one on her. And then I think she realised, like, Hannah could, kick her fanny into next week. And then she was just like, okay, yeah, better not.
And poor Neil, like he said to Will, if everyone's so worried about him, they should sort him out and stop having a go at me before he gets really, really out of hand.
I mean, fast forward to next week. Tony's going to walk in and be like, George, what's that model train doing in your mouth? Yeah, why is this a half-eaten Earl of St. German's in the bin? No, nope, wasn't me. What?
And what will you have done to the women at that farm?
What could you possibly do to Pat?
Criticise her suit?
Insert the jingle here.
Oh, yeah.
Pat chat.
What do you think we're going to get next week when you go... I mean, after this blow-up, Do you still think he's going to Bridge Farm?
Well, I don't know. I'm really worried about Tony's radish rhythm, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, George disrupted him, didn't he?
I know. He was right in a rhythm with his radishes.
I like the way George offered to feed him. God, Jesus, that's a dark image, isn't it? He offered to film him in the laser weeder.
Oh. Oh, yeah, with the sort of time lapse, sun setting.
I imagine it's like the shittest version of Star Wars ever.
But Tony was quite accommodating, wasn't he, really? He was like, oh, all right, I'll give you a chance. I know they're stretched and everything, but I was quite surprised that Tony went. He was very persuasive when he said, while you're doing all the stuff that I am incapable of doing, I'll do the other bits for you and I'll film shit for your website again. And Tony went, all right, then. We'll see what sort of small bits of, you know, won't be full days necessarily. But, and you're thinking, oh my goodness, what is George going to actually wreck at their place?
I've got multiple theories. I think burn down the edible forest. This is day one.
Great. Good, good. Yep.
Blow up Natasha's juice factory and go on a killing spree with Pat's shotgun.
On day one.
I wonder if there's going to be something that happens at the twins' birthday with George. He kind of trips over and falls face first into both cakes.
Well, I reckon it's more likely that Fallon chucks the cakes at Tom and Natasha when Tom says, you haven't got the least, love.
Yeah, they've gone... It's so poisonous, isn't it? Because Tony and Pat were very convinced and Tom has just been a total dickweed about it. And now Pat and Tony are like, well, she has to understand that 8 years is just can't happen. I was like, hang on, last week you were saying you were totally sold on it. It's just because of this sausage fucker that you're not going to go for it now.
But Pat was pushing back and saying, look, all she wants is some clarity. We've got to either say no or give her an alternative. That's all she's asking for. So she does get it. But the clarity that Fallon's going to get is probably going to go down like a cup of cold sick, isn't it?
I worry for the twins as well, because they're both girls with George around.
Oh, God. Is George going to be there?
Well, I don't know. He's working at the farm,
right,
isn't
he? Oh, dear.
Maybe something terrible will happen and they'll think that he did it on purpose and actually it'll be a cry wolf situation.
Yeah, well, you know. Also, like, first birthday parties, they've got no idea. It's all very showy, isn't it? This two cake nonsense that's got goats on it. I was talking to my mate with the mutton rotis in the pub the other night, and she was telling me that some friends of hers have had a first wedding anniversary coming up, and they've invited people to this big restaurant thing. They've got to pay £100 a head for this menu. First wedding anniversary.
Grounds for divorce.
It's just ridiculous what people do nowadays, isn't it? To celebrate stuff.
I've seen people celebrate 4 months of a baby. What are you doing? Yeah, 100%.
What?
Yes, they're like, oh, it's the 4 month birthday of the child. Like, not just like, I'm not talking about these people that like put a little stone next to their kid or a little sign that says 4 months today and just like, that's fine, like a little milestone. I get that.
Put a stone but, next
like,
to
their kid. Yeah. Well,
I know what you mean, but it sounds really funny. Just pick up a stone. Is this the Portuguese thing? No, I know what you mean. Yeah.
I know people that actually
have parties. Don't make people come.
I know people that have parties at 4 months.
Stop it. Because what they were saying, like, Natasha's really rigidly set instructions, hasn't she? Because Helen's being driven out of her mind by it. She was going, cutting a number one, it shouldn't be this hard. That was on Sunday, wasn't it? And Natasha, and she's trying to be aunt of the month. And obviously the joke was that... I think
they got the first letter wrong.
Exactly. Yeah, definitely. I was thinking, what would Natasha's stipulations be for the birthday gifts and stuff? She's probably just sort of given a sort code and account number, hasn't she? Or said all gifts must be 18 karat gold only.
Oh, I am reminded of when you said that the ultrasound would come back as a sausage in a credit card.
Oh, yes.
I like the way that Harrison went in. He said, I mean, would you take Harrison's word for anything?
No.
He said cakes, plural, you know. Oh. And I was, you know, I mean, my there is a VHS tape floating around in Brazil of my other half's first birthday, and it's just a bunch of adults shit-faced on Caipirinhas, as far as I can see.
Exactly. It's for the adults, isn't it? Definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, mate, I've just realised maybe Harrison was saying kex.
Yeah, I thought about that.
So that's trousers, isn't it, in Yorkshire? Yeah.
Look, listen, love. It was, he said, Tom won't even mention it. And if he does, I'll fucking taser him right in his fucking veg box.
I'll stove his face in front of the babies.
I was surprised that Edgley once booked Hadaway for their fate. Did you hear that?
Now, there's a song vaguely in my memory banks that Hadaway did.
Hi again. This section has been removed because it contained Matthew singing the 1993 debut single, What Is Love, by Trinidadian German Eurodance singer Hadaway. It would have hurt you. Hurt you, and we don't want to hurt you. Hurt you, no more.
So what song did Hadaway do, Matthew? It's on the tip of my tongue.
What Is Love?
Ah, yes. Baby don't... Oh, so Baby Don't Hurt Me. So why? What made you say that they're at the fate then, or Edgley or something?
There was some reference to have a way of something, and they said Edgley had a way with a fate or something. And I was like, what? Hadaway played Edgley?
God, or Hadaway, Darrington. One Direction. Yeah,
Darrington, maybe.
They could have a right little fest. One day they're going to do that, aren't they?
What, book Hadaway for the average fate?
No. You know, in the scriptwriter's room, they must have a list of sort of events that they could make the village do. They're going to do a little sort of like proper... I know they had that Locks Fest thing, but they're going to have some sort of other festival where people actually stay over in tents, like a little mini Glastonbury type.
Maybe Ada will let them do that. Grey Gables.
Oh, where is Adele?
I know, missing in action.
I know. Poor...
Adele, Chelsea, Rex.
Yeah. Well, I know. I did have a message from Peter earlier saying that the Archers is shit at the moment, basically. Yeah.
Thanks for your input, Peter.
Thanks for your support. But he said he might stop listening for a bit, and we have to tell him when Ardil, Rex and or Toby are back, or Jakob.
Did he mean he might stop listening to the podcast?
Yeah. Probably.
By the way, sorry about the technical issue last week, everyone. One thing you might not have noticed is that I lost my voice about three times during the recording. So we had to keep stopping, didn't we?
Yeah. Oh, it was a nightmare, wasn't it? That's why it was like 36 minutes long.
Yeah. And then tech went against us, but we muscled it together in the end. I will try and leave this as unedited as possible, just to be brutally honest. So, Tony, Jesus, can you hear outside?
I can hear some whistling or something.
No, it's a bunch of cats on heat.
Oh, that sounded like whistles. Because you've got an annoying whistling neighbour, haven't you?
Suddenly I have. He's doing motorbike repairs in the garage in the forecourt below me, where my garage is too. And he whistles as he works.
Oh, dear.
Kerry, you had an annoying whistling neighbour. Tell the listeners what you did.
Years and years we've put up with this, me and my lovely neighbour, Cher. And she's called Cher. And I reached a point of no return. I shouted at him a few times over the hedge. And then I put a note through his door a few months ago. And he stopped since I put that note through the door. And now Matthew wants to borrow the note or rewrite it for his Portuguese. Yeah, I mean, I did send it in the WhatsApp group, so you can put it through some translation thing. And it worked. And,
so you and Cher, do you believe in life after whistling?
Yes. I'm proof positive that that is a possibility for you, Matthew. So don't give up.
It was only one day. And it was on Sunday when I was feeling a little bit under the weather because I'd been out to White Knight, as I believe I mentioned last week before
you
the sound went there.
Yeah. How was it for you?
It's good fun. Really good fun, yeah. Lots of Portuguese hip hop Yeah, it was good. Ate a lot of chorizo in the street and danced around a bit. Very enjoyable.
That's what I imagine you doing all the time when you're not doing the podcast. Sort of just sort of dancing around cobbled... No, not that. Dancing around cobbled streets, chomping on chorizo.
It's not too far from the truth, actually.
There was a really weird bit tonight, which was Thursday, with Fallon and Harrison with the buttercream and that, where there was a terrible Ferrari joke and both of them went for ages, really loudly. Did you notice?
A donkey was called Ferrari.
Yeah, but they laughed like they were high.
I think Harrison's... Well, we've suspected for some time that Harrison like has a kind of a liberal attitude to the stash box at work whenever they've seized drugs. Because do you remember when Fallon made that quiche? And went, oh no, I've put the wrong ingredients in the quiche. I have to go and warn Jill. And we were like, everyone was going, what the f***?
Yeah, we've still never found out what that is.
No.
So do you think it is some...
And then Jill came to the door and was just like, no, the quiches were wonderful. Why do you have three heads, Fallon?
Was that the day that Jill was really actually nice to people?
Yeah, it was like the second, the minute.
Yeah, yeah. Ah, yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yes, it was remarkable, wasn't it?
Yeah, and then it went away like a hot second. We never understood what was the problem with those ingredients.
Maybe you're right. Harrison is just like nicking loads of the contraband.
What do we think? There's one thing we need in the Archers. Sometimes we just need a calming influence, a nice soft-voiced person to come in and just make us feel like, you know, we're being kissed by the womb of Mother Nature. And so luckily, Miles Titchener showed up this week.
Kissed by a womb. Not anything I'd like, really.
I lost it there, didn't I?
But yeah, Miles. Oh, I tried to look up today, very briefly, Google-wise, who plays Miles Titchener, and it didn't come up. And then I noticed on Twitter someone was asking, does Rob Titchener, actor man, play Miles as well? I'm sure this isn't the case, but I suddenly thought, ooh, that'd be funny. Because they do sound similar, don't they? They have similarities in their voices, particularly when they get cross.
I did find the actor.
Oh, well
when
done.
When he first appeared a few weeks ago.
Okay.
But I've since not looked for him. He was quite Rob-esque, actually, in appearance, in terms of similarity. As I recall, he was a bit. He looked a bit kind of like Ronnie Wood. I may have dreamt that. I'll see if I can find him while we're on air. But he's pretty chill, isn't he?
Yeah, it was lovely. Helen lied to Tony about where she was. He needed her to cover in the shop and she was just getting a few bits and pieces for the twins. And then there was that bell sound. I thought, is that the Swindon Cafe bell? And it wasn't long before he was being absolutely revolting, wasn't he? I mean, he peaked at the end where he said something along the lines of, I know you had a difficult relationship. You guys had your challenges. Bloody hell.
I know he coercively controlled you forever, raped you, put a knife into your hand, asked to kill you, kidnapped your son. You had to go to jail. You stabbed him.
But do this for Rob, for God's sake, woman. You're just being so out of order.
Oh. My wife once wanted to watch Aspel when I wanted to watch Duty Free. I understand, Helen.
Ask Aspel. Haven't thought about that for a few years. Yeah, he's not really great at winning people round to do what you want them to, is he?
I mean, I said a few weeks ago, can you imagine Christmas round the Titcheners' house? The dad, well, it won't be Rob anymore, will it? The dad, Rob and Miles, my God. But it's like some joyless Bronte novel, isn't it? Up on some house on the moors with the wind howling.
Yeah.
Were you whistling then, Kerry?
I'm going to start wind. Writing a letter. I was doing wind. I'm doing wind.
All right. Okay.
From my mouth.
That's going from the end of the podcast.
Great. Thank you. Helen did show signs of strength, didn't she? And went, nope. Rob's diagnosis and how you tell your father of not my problem at all. That's all you, down on you. Got nothing to do with it. Have you heard about being divorced? It means you haven't got anything to do with the person. Blah, blah, blah. Yes. Good, good, good. Well done, Helen. Why you went there to meet him, don't know. And I suppose it's because, like Kirsty said, it's because she's human. And I don't know whether that's actually true, is it? Yeah. There were points, certainly, where you thought, go on, Helen, you are saying no to this person, but I'm not utterly convinced, really.
She was worried with Kirsty. She said, I'm back in a place.
Oh, yeah.
Where I don't want to be doing something I don't want to do. And I was like, isn't that the sign above the door when you enter her dairy?
That's us, isn't it? Listening to the arches, sort of, I thought.
That's how Clary feels.
Yes.
Well, you don't want to talk into that microphone?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We've got the massive window that's got to feature at some point, hasn't it, still? Yeah, Miles. Obviously, Miles and Rob don't have a good relationship, do they? Because he said, like, Rob hasn't been talking sense to him. It's like he's a child. He said it was inoperable, didn't say how long. You're the only one who really understands him. And I just think, piss off, Miles. You go and work that out with your own brother. Helen should not be having anything to do with him.
It's leaving a hook there, isn't it? Because now he's like, well, Jack will be the only thing left of Rob for me and my dad when he's gone. It's like, no. Piss all the way off. Like, we don't want you.
But Helen is wrestling as well with what to tell Jack, as we mentioned a little bit earlier. You know, what is it better to say nothing at this point and then much further down the line explain exactly what's happened? Or is it better to tell Jack everything that's going on at the moment, or what?
What is Jack, like 8?
Yeah, something like that, isn't he?
He was born in prison. And when was Helen in prison?
You're asking the wrong person.
Yeah, as I like to call it, the golden years. must have been around 2016, 2017, wasn't it?
It's weird, isn't it? This storyline has been going on for a very long time. Isn't it 10 years or something stupid like
that? But it's like you said last week. It's true to life, because he wouldn't just go away. He wouldn't just vanish. And I know people that have exes who are complete tossers, and they're like a bad smell. They just don't go away. They hang around. Only when kids are involved, by the way. That's the linking factor in most of it. I know that doesn't happen for everyone, but when there's a kid involved and it's about, you know, parental responsibility, they hang around. But it's
I've got exes who I haven't got kids with who still pop up now and again in my messages.
Oh, yeah.
Weird, isn't it? Yeah. I'm sure you
do. It does. I mean,
but yeah.
Yeah.
Not quite in the same way that this is happening. But where is this going to lead, though? Because obviously Dominic, the solicitor, happens to be away just at the exact time where Kirsty's away wearing Helen's dress and hat in Prague.
Yep.
And possibly a strapless bra.
She thought Eric wouldn't mind if she brought Helen along. I don't think she knows Eric very well.
Yeah, or doesn't realise what Helen's like.
Really. Yeah.
Coincidentally, Kirsty's away. The solicitor can't be contacted because Helen wants to know whether the illness changes anything in terms of what they should be dealing with. And they're both not going to be there sort of next week or so, are they?
Yeah, and it's not like you can, I mean, because Tony took the news really well, didn't he?
I thought. Yeah.
He was a pillar. And then Tom said to Pat, I'm going to go and talk to him. Went, you'll just make it worse. He went, I won't, I promise.
I'll smooth things over. Don't worry. Yeah. Next thing, Tony's shouting at him going, don't you dare tell me that having 1-year-old twin babies is the same as having a grown-up daughter being raped by an abusive twat.
Tom's pretty much done the same to them already by putting them on the Hitler nappies ad, hasn't he?
Yes.
Hitler nappies.
And almost damaging Bridge Farm. Can I just say, Tony's acting there. Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, similar to mine, really, wasn't it?
give Kerry all the Emmys. When I re-listened to the omnibus on Sunday, the scene with Helen and Rob as well, in the car park afterwards, just so good.
Yeah, it was.
Just incredible.
And I did think her talking to Kirsty about I could feel his breath on my neck.
Mm-hmm. You can imagine it, can't you?
Oh, definitely. That was really like, ooh.
That's great writing as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
That bit where Kirsty was saying, look, you've made a life for yourself here. You've got this house, Lee's toys, Lee's shirts.
Why are Lee's shirts in a cupboard?
I imagine at that point they open the cupboard and it's just a series of really bad, like, drag racing flame shirts with Hawaiian style with Bruce Lee's face on. Yeah, look, Lee's shirts there. His Wolverine toys over there, his Spider-Man.
It's like there's sort of a Lee cupboard where all his stuff is just shoved into. He can't have a wardrobe. There's just the Lee cupboard, sort of under the stairs, probably. You know that one where the vacuum is and that? Yeah. And sort of like old
where Harry Potter sleeps.
Yeah, that's Lee's cupboard. And all his clothes are in there, all higgledy-piggledy. Bless him. Oh, hello. Do you think I could hang up a shirt this week in your wardrobe? No, it goes in the cupboard. The cupboard is where your things belong. You know that, Lee. Told you.
Must I sleep on a pillow of cheese rind again?
Yes.
Why would you think any different? Mm. Sometimes she is not almost as controlling as Rob, but there are controlling elements about Helen. And there were prior to Rob, so.
Don't disagree with any of that. Kerry,
yeah.
Let's take a little break and then we'll chat about some things that may have happened on social media, okay?
Yeah.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Kerry, do we have any new reviews?
Yes, Matthew, we do. We've had a really lovely 5-star review. I'll just get it.
5 stars?
Yeah, 5-star review. It's nice when we get those, isn't it? I can't tell you how much they boost our morale. They boost our profile on Apple, iTunes, podcast thingy bob world.
Yeah, I am wearing like a pair of cotton and polyester shorts right now. That's all because it's very hot and I'm so excited they've started to unravel.
Great, it's lovely. Well, by the time I finish reading this, you won't have any threads on you whatsoever. So the title of this one is Cider House Rules. So that's quite clever, isn't it?
Like it.
Yeah, and it's by someone, I think it's Welsh for Mike. It's M-I-E-C. Some fool.
Sounds Eastern European to me, mate.
I was going to say some fool might think it was Eastern European, but no, you can tell because his last name is Heggy Heggett. So that doesn't sound Eastern European. It's much more Welsh, really. So Mike has put, thanks for helping me understand and cope with the hideous and trauma-inducing inhabitants of Bridge Farm and Brookfield. I had nowhere to go for a coping strategy till I found the cider shed. Thank you for the help. 5 stars.
5 stars?
Yeah, yeah.
Blimey.
I know, it's so good.
That all sounded slightly familiar to me.
What, like that 3-star one we got last week? Thank you so much for adjusting it, because it was an error on your part. You graciously told us, so thank you for amendments.
Yeah, Mike. He did reply. He posted in our Facebook, actually. So sorry, it was meant to be 5 stars, but my phone screen is obviously wonky. Not Eastern European. Okay, sorry. Oh. I'm from Swansea. Whenever I hear the word Swansea, I'm reminded of that scene from The League of Gentlemen where Tubbs finally finds a road map of England. You lied, Edward. There is a Swansea.
A Swindon. Yeah.
There's definitely a Swindon. Going to have to leave another review and clean my phone. What a star.
Yes, thank you.
Nimrod got in touch to say that Dr. Weber has been struck off for failing to tell a patient with a brain tumour they can't drive, in all caps.
Mm.
Maybe this is deliberate. He has a seizure whilst driving, crashes into the gate and lets the sheep out again. But Paella, which I presume is Pip and Stella's new relationship name. Yeah, I saw it doing the rounds on Twitter.
Yep.
But Paella have found a bottle of 40% proof vodka and are rolling around in the back of Stella's car and incapable of rounding them up. I've gone too far, haven't I?
No. Keep going. Never too far.
Gillian Corrigan said she loved the episode title last week as she was at the original Boy George concert last night. Yeah. Mm. Let's just gloss over the fact that Boy George once.
Cidershed anti-lawsuit music.
Oh, he did, didn't he? Mm.
Yeah.
We've all made mistakes.
Who said that?
Dan Wootton. Yes.
Yep.
Of the week or month, not Helen, him.
Ian said, I'm still hoping Rob has planned the whole thing to get the kids, hacked the hospital website, commandeered an empty room, paid an actor to be the consultant. Didn't I say this a couple of weeks ago?
Yes, Ian? Matthew, you did.
The alternative is that in all the world, number two on Rob's list of people he wants to help him at the hospital is someone who literally tried to kill him, and I'm not sure I can cope with how tragic that would be.
Yes. Oh,
it is a bit, isn't it?
It is a bit, yeah.
And what else have we got? Mandy Belshaw was singing the praises of Brad. Can he become any more splendid and perfect? Was the sausage roll an Aldi-owned brand, or was it Ginster's sold in the village shop? Well, we did discuss there might be some... I think it's now gospel that it was George, wasn't it? That's not being disputed.
He hasn't admitted it, has he?
Yeah, TR Talk says, why would Rob's family want the woman who stabbed him anywhere near him? Yeah. Theresa McDonald got in touch to say, I am new to the Archers and the Cider Shed has been my fun companion as I learn about all the dysfunctional people of Ambridge. Well, we're here for you, Theresa, okay? Mm-hmm. And Morticia pretty much said what I said, which George has been bottling that up for a while, hasn't he? She said, I really hope Fallon has put something slightly unpleasant in that second cake. And as for George, well, he'd been bottling that up for a long time, hadn't he? I wonder how Emma will regard him now he has revealed his true feelings.
Yes.
Vivian sent a picture of a packet of crisps. Thanks, Vivian. Misophonia triggers. It started with, I think, a packet of crisps. Now the munching is spreading, oozing, slobbering its way through the episodes. Visions of teeth filled with food particles abound. I hardly notice the intimate sounds of digestion myself when I listen while eating, but my husband will now march out of the room when the Archers theme starts. I think most people don't find the sounds enjoyable, but for those with misophonia, the sounds are maddening, bringing on rage and fear. That's just the Archers, Vivian. Will this assault on the senses continue? Is there some metaphor of gluttony about to be revealed? Will one Archers fan with misophonia suddenly turn to the person next to them and do something unspeakable?
I hope so. That is an interesting point, the misophonia thing, because there's two friends of mine that spring immediately to mind, one of whom just goes when eating.
What, they wank?
Yeah. Always. No matter what time of day, what meal. Public, private, they can't help themselves. The other friend, when they eat soup or cereal, like with a spoon, they clatter the spoon onto their teeth with every insert of the food. And I cannot stand it. And I've told them I can't stand it. So it's a similar thing. Sounds are interesting, aren't they? I think I have got some sort of spectrum-y type misophonia.
I know someone who dumped their partner because they ate too loudly.
Oh, really?
I've been massively conscious of it because for the last 2 years I've had braces, which are coming off next month. So I think I might the whole time I've recorded this podcast, I've had the braces in. So I think I might even sound different on air. I'll be like, hello, Ooh. Welcome to the Cider Shed podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, I am sound intolerant. It'll be so nice when you're released from the braces, won't it, Matthew?
I'll be running around a field.
Weird. Yeah, you'll feel lighter, won't you?
Maybe. Well, eating won't be so much of a pain, that's for sure. I mean, the first week I was like, I'll never eat pizza again. And after about a week, I was like, yeah, I'm going to eat it. It's just going to be really, really shit. All right, Kerry. Well, that was what's on our Facebook, which is a group called the Cider Shed Podcast. That's where you can find us.
Yeah.
More people joining every day. Come there, talk shit, basically, and we embrace it. Kerry,
we do.
If people want to get in touch on Twitter, how do they do that?
We embrace the shit on Twitter at the Cider Shed Pod. So please come along there during the tweet along, any old hours. I'm always on there daily responding to things. It's a right laugh. Send us any thoughts, feelings, fears, hatred of the Archers.
Or life.
Yeah, anything really. Yeah. Oh, someone, Jonathan Parsons, he sent a brilliant clip of Martin Gibson, the actor person, on Play School from 1975.
Get out.
Yeah, he was a Play School presenter, which I've watched him many, many hours in my early childhood and didn't realise that he's Martin Gibson.
Was he Jemima?
Amble.
The only one, other one I can remember was Humpty Dumpty.
Big Ted, Little Ted.
Big Ted,
Humble.
Little Ted, yeah.
Jemima.
I think by that time I was already watching reruns.
Yeah, probably.
Rainbow was more of my my era.
Yeah, Rod, Jane and Freddie.
Have you ever seen the X-rated version of Rod, Jane and Freddie that they recorded for some kind of like Christmas tape, but it's made its way to YouTube?
That's funny. They were at it, weren't they? A couple of them, I think.
Maybe.
In real life.
Well, Rod, who was Rod Skelton, I noticed very early on as a kid, was also credited as the voice of the Daleks on Doctor Who.
Stop it.
Yeah. So Rod from Rod, Jane and Freddie was the Dalek.
It's a Dalek.
Yeah.
Good heavens. Yeah. We didn't really touch on the Tracy Jazza not getting married, sitting on a balcony that was a fire escape, naming loads of Scottish venues that they'd been to and doing Braveheart impressions.
Yeah, I mean, Jazza did a Mel Gibson impression next to a statue in Stirling. So I presume he just stood there in front of a group of people and blinked.
Matthew just fucking did it again.
Oh. I say.
That won't go in.
I'm glad I mentioned that then. Shit. But they drove the Riley, didn't they, to Scotland, avoiding all motorways. And even the bit between Isle of Skye to Loch Linney takes 3 hours, 20 minutes in a normal car. So the right, and then I looked at how long it took on a bike. It was 9 hours, 50, and probably the Riley was about bike speed, wasn't it? So it's like 10-hour journey.
Did you Google O'Reilly after we talked about it last week?
Google O'Reilly. Yeah, they're good, aren't they? They look beautiful. Yeah.
But
you thought they were going to have some sort of crash, didn't you? And come to...
Yeah, it didn't happen. Thank God. Thank the God of the Archers.
Yes.
Yeah, it was good to have them back as well. Yeah, and Jazza went back to work at Barrow. Other social media stuff, we have a Instagram, which is the same as Twitter, which is at the Cider Shed Pod. We can message us at hello@thecidershed.com. That's our email. And if you...
Nobody ever does that. Surprise us.
Two of you.
Write an email.
Yeah, if someone sends an email to hello@thecidershed.com, I will create a jingle in your name.
Great.
There you go.
Come on.
Yeah.
Do it. Oh, Nigella Lawson interacted with us on Twitter as well.
Oh,
this
she
week.
Did with Twitter, didn't she?
She did indeed, yeah. And I asked her because I'd sort of said, I can't do the tweet along. I'm cooking Nigella Lawson's garlic chicken lemony thing. And she replied going, I hope you enjoyed it. And I went, it's a family favourite. Fangirl. Really crawly bumlick. And I went, I don't suppose you listen to the Archers, do you? And she replied again saying, I haven't for a long time. Maybe I should start again. So wouldn't that be good? Well, I don't know. Would it be good if she tuned in?
She'll probably tune in and be like, who is this sick person who has suggested that I listen to this?
Oh, no.
If you want to become a patron of the Cider Shed, you can do that at www.patreon.com/thecidershed. Big shout out to Izzy, Charlie, Julianne and Esther, who all became patrons this week.
Yes.
You lot are stars. We absolutely love you so much. Thanks. Yeah, we're juggling a few things here at the moment, and that really helps us. So, yeah, can't, no words really, except the ones I've just said. We love it. We love you. Thanks for your help.
Thank you so much.
Not that we don't love the rest of the listeners. Kerry, I'm going down to Lisbon tomorrow. So we won't be able to say about what happens on Friday, but we will talk about it next week for sure.
Yes.
And I reckon I've got a funny feeling in my bones there might be a midweek special coming next week with lots of things that we possibly can't talk about.
I'm game for that.
All right, Kerry. I'm off down south to the beach. What you got planned for the weekend?
This weekend, there isn't anything and I like it.
Isn't that a Katy Perry song?
There isn't anything and I like it. Yeah, that's me for the weekend.
We promised we would never sing again on this podcast.
I'll be watching the Ashes, actually.
Oh, it's all over, isn't it?
No, it isn't.
Isn't it?
Necessarily.
I mean, I'm kind of torn because half my family's Australian, so I always kind of enjoy when it...
England were great today.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see. I'm not hopeful.
Great.
When it comes to the Ashes, my glass is half full and it's piss. So, listen, Liam Rayner has set up a new fantasy football league, which is called the Cider Shed Podcast. I am going to include the link to how to join and the code to join it in the pod description.
Nice one.
You need to pick your team first, then search for the league. Just search under the code and you can join. There's already some people there. And I have to tell you, my team's name is Russ of the Rovers.
Ah, so you haven't gone with the Southampton sort of theme this week then, Matthew?
Well, Ricky Lambert and Matt Letizier.
Yeah.
Do you know what
a bunch of nutters. Honestly.
Did you see my did you see my joke tweet about Ali Dia, the player who only played for like half a game at Southampton in the mid-90s?
No.
Because he managed to convince people that he was a footballer when he wasn't.
No.
Are you not aware of Ali Dia?
No.
He was a...
Is that like Dele Alli, but round the other way?
I think he might have orchestrated these calls himself. And he called around a bunch of clubs and said that he was George Weah's cousin, the Liberian amazing footballer that played for AC Milan. I think he called West Ham and a few others. And he called Graham Souness and said, like, there's this shit hot player from Senegal and you should play him. And I think they brought him in. God knows what the deals were like at that time, but they brought him in on some kind of like loan, like for a week or something. And he ended up... Graham Souness played him over Letizia.
Is he not a footballer at all?
He was kind of a footballer, but not really. He was a footballer in as
Why
much as...
Why hasn't this been made into a film?
Because he only played for about 20 seconds. He got on the pitch.
Yeah, but that's hilarious.
And couldn't control the ball, couldn't trap the ball, couldn't run with the ball.
Yes.
So I did a slight mock-up of the local news... I've sent it to your WhatsApp right now.
Okay.
Of the local Southampton newspaper. Because we've got Letizia has gone nuts. Lambert thinks you can talk to water now. And so I faked.
Yeah, I saw that. Bloody hell.
And so I faked up a copy of the Southern Daily Echo. Can you see it?
Saints legend Ali Dia to lead expedition beyond Antarctica ice wall to expose alien Nazi space something.
Space base.
Space. Oh my God.
Now you do realise that there are a bunch of people that believe that there is a Nazi alien space base in Antarctica and that's the only reason you can't fly over it.
Can't you fly over it?
It's just so far from any airport that if something goes wrong, you can't get back.
A certain section of society believe that the reason for that being banned is it not alien Nazis? Did you see Yuri Geller?
Well, I've seen him before.
And his tweet.
No, but
his tweets today. Oh my God, he reckons that aliens have taken over WhatsApp and there's going to be that it's all going to sort of come to the fore within the next 24 hours. Watch this space, kind of thing. Bad shit is going to happen. I was like, oh, I can't bloody wait, to be honest.
I just had this vision of a bunch of aliens appearing in my WhatsApp with spoons.
Yeah, watch out, everybody. Yes,
quite excited. But I mean, that's the most exciting news I've heard in a while.
I know. Yeah.
Okay, so the aliens have WhatsApp. I'm cool for that. He once put some goldfish bowls behind the goal nets at Bristol Rovers in order to will the ball into the net. What he didn't really factor into his cosmic power is that Bristol Rovers are really shit and didn't have a striker.
He's very strange, isn't he? In so many ways.
Yeah, he's as good mad as a box of spoons.
Like, he got people looking at TV sets, like sending thoughts.
Yeah,
it's like Kate, isn't it, almost? Well,
when he's on the screen, I'm kind of sending thoughts, to be honest.
Yeah.
Tosser.
Yeah.
All right, Kerry, listen.
Fork off.
What?
Yeah. Fork off.
Yeah. Go fork and have fun, Kerry. And I will see you. Oh, well, I'll be messaging you over the week when I'm sat on the beach.
Lovely. Yeah.
And listen, everyone, love you lots. And see you soon.
Bye. See you next week.
Bye bye.
I'm doing wind from my mouth.